603, please.
603, adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending June 30, 2020.
Colleagues, this is a second reading of the adopted budget ordinance. As you'll recall, I set out this budget process to initiate several changes to make our budgeting process more transparent and accessible to the public. The Budget Office, CBO, has developed an online dashboard that not only includes information to help members of the public understand and navigate the budget process, but it also empowers members of the public to engage with the many layers of our total citywide budget. This new dashboard offers a one-stop shop for people to find the information that they need and that they want on the city's budget. Instead of thumbing through over 1,000 pages of the adopted budget document or searching the many pages on the city's website for information on the city budget process, you can now visit this dashboard and self-navigate to the information that you want to find. I encourage everyone to visit the site. It is portlandoregon.gov/budget and select the adopted budget visualization. There you will find information on and helpful links for key components of the city's budget process, interactive data on the city's programs, revenues and expenses, and detailed information on budget decisions from this year's budget process. I'm proud to say that this is a new cutting-edge model for communicating budget information. And in fact, the company Tableau has requested that the City Budget Office lead a national webinar to demonstrate and instruct other cities on our construction and the use of this tool. Again, you can find this new information, the budget visualization tool, at portlandoregon.gov/budget. So, Carla, this is a second reading of a non-emergency ordinance. We've had lots and lots and lots of testimony on this item. Colleagues, are there any other questions before I call the roll on the budget? Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Well, Mayor and colleagues, on May 23rd, the council voted to approve our annual budget. Since then, the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission has given their blessing. Therefore, today's vote is a formality, and I don't intend to repeat all of my remarks from the last vote. I do, however, want to highlight a few things. First, this is Mayor Wheeler's third budget and the third time that he has achieved broad council support for his budget. So, Mayor, thank you to you and to your team for leading us through this process.
Thank you.
Second, this year we tried a new budget process, essentially modified zero-based budgeting. It was an improvement and helped uncover a significant structural gap at parks. So I want to give a big shout out to the City Budget Office for their work in helping us get to this day. I believe our public outreach for the budget is still a work in progress, and I believe we can and must do better. Next, I'd like to acknowledge a number of important items that were included in the budget but that didn't grab the headlines. They include additional resources for supportive housing, a combined utility rate increase below 5%, and on the Bureau of Environmental Services side, which is two-thirds of your bill, the increase is below 3%, which is below the rate of inflation. Small investments in the Portland Rose Festival and the Portland Film Office that generate big returns for our local economy, funding for the next phase of our work to clean up the Willamette River, support for important environmental priorities like brownfield cleanups and a dark skies initiative, an age-friendly coordinator position in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and almost $700,000 to cover ongoing operations and maintenance of new parks facilities, many if not most of which are in East Portland. Let me close with a word about parks. Director Long and I are working closely with Human Resources to identify openings at parks and at the city for employees facing layoffs. We are very encouraged by our progress to date. This summer, we will take a deep dive to identify new models for funding parks going forward. My goal over the next 2 to 3 years is to put parks on a solid and sustainable foundation. We are open to all creative ideas for how to achieve that goal. Finally, I want to thank my colleagues. Developing a budget is one of our most collaborative undertakings. It has been a pleasure to work with each of you and your offices to craft this budget. I vote aye.
Hugh Daly.
This budget, I think, largely reflects our values and priorities as a council. It also reflects some compromises that were hard to swallow. No one got everything they wanted, but we did fund many vital and urgent programs and initiatives. The ones that I am most thankful for is the ongoing funding for the Joint Office for Homeless Services, funding for the office that serves landlords and tenants. As we increase regulation, we need to support landlords and tenants in understanding our policies and their rights, as well as the complete count for the upcoming census. There's many, many more, but I'm grateful that we found funding for those, and I vote aye.
Fritz?
Thank you to everybody who's been involved. And obviously this, in many ways, is a status quo and compromise budget, as my colleagues have said, with the exception of Portland Parks and Recreation. The cuts we're taking to parks are painful, and no one on council is happy with these cuts, however they are necessary. Under the leadership of Commissioner Fish and Parks Director Adina Long, a plan will be developed that will provide for the long-term viability of a vibrant park system. In the short term, there is disappointment and sadness. And I will commit to being part of the conversation to look for that ongoing sustainable funding. The council continues to invest in housing and houseless services. We continue to need the federal government to address those issues at a national level. I'm encouraged to see the regional level and the state level has finally come to the realization this is not just a Portland problem. Los Angeles has made significant investments in housing, passing a $1.2 billion bond for housing, and yet their homeless population jumped 16% from 18 to 19. So there does need to be a massive national investment in housing, and unfortunately that doesn't look like it's going to happen. In the meantime, the council under Mayor Wheeler's leadership is funding the Joint Office of Homeless Services at the requested level. So thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for working with your colleagues to adopt this compromise budget. Commissioner Fish, thank you for bringing forward a responsible, even if painful, budget for parks that does put parks on a more sustainable path. Commissioner Daly, I particularly appreciate your anti-displacement funding and your steadfast commitment to making sure that we do have measures in place before we enact further measures which may cause more demolitions and displacements. So thank you especially for that. Commissioner Hardesty made her comments last week. It's clear that she shares the rest of the council's commitment to our city employees and to our vulnerable community members. And as Commissioner Udaly said, this budget is a moral document that reflects our values and principles, which are all shared by everybody on the council. I acknowledge the excellent work done by the City Budget Office in a challenging year with new budget software and an interim budget director, Jessica Kinnard, and her team did an excellent job. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the community members who took time to attend the forums. It's wonderful to see so many different folks attending, especially when we hold them in the evenings when people can come in. Thank you for all of the written comments. It was overwhelmed by the amount of emails that came in and was not able to keep up with all of them. So please know that they were read, and I was appreciative of the urging. We can never do everything that everybody wants us to do, and so that's the challenge of being on the council, is that we have to consider all of the values and not only the ones that come bubble up to the top of public attention. The council, however, could not pass a responsible budget without hearing from each community member on what's important to you. Thank you to my staff for all your work on the budget, Claire Adamsick, Christina Nieves, Misong Kwan, Cynthia Castro, and Yesenia Carrillo. I could not do this job without you. And in particular, thank you to my chief of staff, Tim Crail, who's been with me since day one and hopefully will be until the end of next year. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, let me just thank my colleagues. I'm very pleased with the collaborative effort that has led to this budget. As Commissioner Udaly said, nobody got everything they wanted. The reality is it doesn't work that way. There is always compromise, give and take to be had. But on the whole, I'm very proud of the work that we've collectively done for this budget for the fiscal year 2019-2020. The budget reflects a collective commitment to housing and addressing the homelessness crisis, supporting equitable outcomes and fostering equitable prosperity so that as our economy continues to grow, Portlanders benefit regardless of who they are, fiscal sustainability and intergenerational equity, clean and safe communities, and importantly, in my opinion, improving and streamlining both city processes as well as constituent response. We invested in housing and homelessness. While we were certainly required to make some challenging budget decisions this year, I'm very pleased that we were able to preserve and continue progress on critical and urgent housing and homeless needs. This budget includes almost $10 million to continue critical services that otherwise would have been cut, and it adds new services in the Portland Housing Bureau's budget. I'm particularly pleased about our continued investments in homelessness services and the fact that this budget provides nearly $7 million in funding to continuing the current service levels through the Joint Office of Homeless Services. That's everything from prevention to shelter services, transitioning people off the street into housing, and providing services to help people be successful in that housing. This budget also invests in innovative new services, including $500,000 for drug and alcohol treatment services for those who are the most chronically homeless. It includes anti-displacement approaches. It provides funding for a partnership in a new navigation center to make sure that the chronically homeless people are connected to whatever services they need to get off and stay off the streets. I'm particularly excited about the inclusion of the new Hygiene Street Response Program. This pilot provides mobile bathrooms and showers to ensure access to basic hygiene needs for those who are homeless, and the provision of low barrier job training for individuals who want to work as station attendants. We invested in supporting equitable outcomes and fostering equitable prosperity. And some of the highlights there, just quickly running through the list, we continued our current support for Portlanders United Against Hate. We supported the Portland Means Progress Initiative to ensure that prosperity is shared across all Portlanders, $100,000 for the Hillblock Project, $50,000 for the Cully Project, $75,000 to help foster the Albina Vision over by the Rose Quarter, staffing for the Portland Commission on Disability, creation of new citywide accommodations and inclusions through the establishment of a fund for employees with disabilities, and a new person in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to focus on ensuring that Portland is planning for an age-friendly future, as Commissioner Fish indicated. We're supporting the 2020 Census Outreach, the Neighborhood Prosperity Business Network, and the Mercatus My People's Market will all continue to receive funding. We invested in financial stability and intergenerational equity, and we prioritize costs that I believe will lower our out-year costs and increase revenue collection. Some of this stuff wasn't exciting, but it was important. We did a lot of work collectively on it. That includes the integrated tax system. That includes making sure that operation and maintenance dollars followed new projects in parks that we had collectively supported. And we also provided resources to help provide a runway for the Parks Bureau to plan for its future. We invested in clean and safe communities. That includes the new hygiene program I just mentioned, the funding for the Rapid Street Response Program, which is a great opportunity for this city moving forward, and funding for a second year of the Keep It Pretty Rose City initiative to engage people in the public who want to help pick up litter on our streets. We supported the Clean Air Construction Standard, and we provided funding for the Ceasefire Program in the Office of Youth Violence Prevention. And finally, we invested in improving city services, and that includes a significant commitment to the new 311 system and a budget note to solidify the development of that system. We preserved the rapid response vehicle that was at risk of being cut in the Fire Bureau, and we increased funding to ensure that public records requests are facilitated more quickly. I'd like to just make a couple of thank yous here in closing. First of all, Director Kennard, for what I believe has been outstanding leadership over the course of the last year, and to all members of your budget team. They've provided great insight, great support to this city council. It goes without saying that we thank our community budget advisors, including Frida Christopher, Sho DiZono, Pam Knowles, Danichka Otero Serrano, Andrea Peluso, all of whom spent many, many hours without staffing, going through the budget, learning the budget, and giving us really good advice and counsel. I'd also like to thank the Bureau Advisory Committee members for all of the bureaus across the city. Public engagement has been a very important process. We experimented with some new community engagement opportunities. I agree with Commissioner Fish that over the course of the next year, we're going to get feedback on those various types of community engagement and hopefully settle on some strategies that we think are the best overall. Lastly, I'd like to thank Kristen Dennis, Andrea Valderrama, and many other people on my staff who worked for the last year on this budget. Thanks, everyone. I vote aye. The budget's adopted. Time to start working.